Hare Krishna. So we are continuing our reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 16. This chapter is entitled The Divine and Demoniac Natures. We are on verse text number 6. Bhuta sargau lokesmin daiva asura eva cha daivo vistarasha prokta asuram part Me Shunu. Do Bhuto Sargau Lokesmin. Do Bhuta Sargau Lokesmin. Daiva Asura Evacha. Daiva asura evacha. Daivo vistarasha prokta. Daivo vistarasha prokta. Asuram partha me shrunu. Asuram partha me shrunu. Dvau bhuta sarga lokesmin. Daiva asura evacha. Daivo vistarasha prokta. Asuram partha me shrunu. Dvau bhuta sarga lokesmin. Daiva asura eva cha. Daiva vistarasha prokta. Asuram partha me shrunu. Dvau bhuta sarga lokesmin. Daiva asura eva cha. Daiva vistarasha prokta. Asuram partha me shrunu. Dvau bhuta sarva lokesmin. Daiva asura eva cha. Daivo vistarasha prokta. Asuram partha me shrunu. Matajis. Dvau bhuta sarva lokesmin. Daiva asura eva cha. Daivo vistarasha prokta. Asuram partha me shrunu. Okay, word to word meaning. Dvau, two. Bhuta sargau, created living being. Loke, in the world. Asmin, this. Daiva, godly. Asura, demoniac. Eva, certainly. Cha and Daiva, the divine. Vistarasha at great length. Prokta said. Asuram, the demoniac. Partha, O son of Pritha, may from me. Shunu, just hear. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation, O son of Pritha, in this world, there are two kinds of created beings. One is called divine and the other demoniac. I have already explained to you at length the divine qualities. Now hear from me of the demoniac. Purport. Lord Krishna, having assured Arjuna that he was born with the divine qualities, is now describing the demoniac way. The conditioned living entities are divided into two classes in this world. Those who are born with divine qualities follow a regulated life. That is to say, they abide by the injunctions in scriptures and by the authorities. One should perform duties in the light of authoritative scripture. This mentality is called divine mentality. One who does not follow the regulative principles as they are laid down in the scriptures and who acts according to his whims is called demoniac or asuric. There is no other criterion but obedience to regulative principles of scriptures. It is mentioned in the Vedic literature that both the demigods and the demons are born of the Prajapati. The only difference is that one class obeys the Vedic injunctions and the other does not. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Rinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So welcome to the Bhagavad Gita class. This is a very beautiful and important chapter, chapter number 16, The Divine and Demoniac Natures. We can very easily relate to this chapter because it speaks very much about this world. The translation mentions there are two kinds of being. One is divine, another is demoniac. Now, amazingly, in this particular chapter, Krishna has spoken about divine, but only in few verses, just 5 verses. The remaining chapter is about demoniac. So much Krishna is going to speak on the demoniac mentality. And we can all relate to it because we are in this world which is full of demonic mentality. I remember the idea of a divine and demoniac when I was not a devotee was a different. And then when I came in ISKCON, I found a different thing. Initially, I thought someone is demoniac, he should look very bad, ugly, big bulging body, maybe scars, or maybe he should have horns, teeth coming out. He should look very bad. And someone who's a divine, he should look very smart, handsome, beautiful. So more or likely it was appearance, the externals, which I thought classifies divine and demoniac. Then I read the Bhagavad Gita. I read Prabhupada books. And Prabhupada said, scientists are demoniac. Ah, because I was a science student. And for me, scientists will be my Mahajans. They are the one I follow. And Prabhupada says, scientists are demoniac. Of course, Prabhupada was very merciful. Prabhupada said, philosophers, demoniac, foolish, rascals. And I would think, why Prabhupada, is Prabhupada having something wrong with these people, you know? Then as I studied more Prabhupada books, I realized it is not the externals which determine whether a person is good or bad. It is the mentality. And here it is mentioned very clearly. One who follows Vedic literatures is divine. One who does not follow Vedic literature is demoniac. Simple. As simple as that. You follow Krishna consciousness, you're divine. You're opposing Krishna consciousness, you're demoniac. Simple definition. Now, I remember many years back, I had heard a class. And in the class, this devotee was making a beautiful comparison of different yugas. Satya Yuga, Treta, Dwapar and Kali. She was mentioning, in Satya Yuga, Hiranyakashipu was ruling. And who appeared to kill him? Lord Narsingdev. So Lord Narsingdev came from some other planet into this planet and killed Hiranyakashipu and went away. So this devotee was mentioning that in Satyuga, the divine was staying in one planet, the demonic one staying in another planet. So divine came to this planet and killed the demoniac. And then he mentioned, then Treta Yuga came. Lord Ramachandra. So Lord Ramachandra was staying in this planet, in the land of Bharatvarsha, India. And the demoniac was also staying in the same planet, in another country, the next country, Sri Lanka. So Lord Ramachandra went from India to Sri Lanka and killed Ravan. You got the point? In Satyuga, Lord came from another planet to some other planet and killed the demoniac. In Treta Yuga, in the same planet, both divine and demoniac stayed. But they stayed in different country. Then Dwapar Yuga came. And what happened? Same place. Mathura, Vrindavan. And between a river. Same country. Just two different places. Little different. Kamsa in Mathura, Krishna and Vrindavan. Divine in Vrindavan, demonic in Mathura. And this devotee mentioned to all of us. But in Kali Yuga, the divine and demoniac stay in one body. In one body, both are there. So in our life, we always see there are good things in us and there are some bad things in us. So both Ravan is there, Lord Ram is there. I remember when I was in high school, one of my very good friends was not a devotee. I was also not a devotee. He told me, you know, why do we do bad things, you know? He told us, we do bad things because we have a demon in our heart. And we do good things because we have Lord in our heart. So when you do good things, it is because the Lord is doing good things. When you do bad things, it is because the demon is doing bad things. Sometimes the demon is powerful than the Lord, so we do bad things. And sometimes the devotee is the Lord is powerful than the demon, so then we do good things. That's an interesting philosophy. that this person is saying that everything is responsible, not I am not responsible, someone else is responsible. Then I came to Krishna consciousness and then I realized what he said was not exactly right. The thing is, both good and bad are in the same body, in the same system, in the same person. But it is not that when Lord is strong, then we do good, and when the demon is strong, then we do bad. No, it is actually us. I remember Devamrit Maharaj had come to our temple, and he was giving a youth program. And all the young boys are sitting, you know. And then he was mentioning, so we have two dogs in our consciousness. Two dogs. You know dogs? They bark. One is a good dog, another is a bad dog. So good dog is barking, the bad dog is barking. And then Maharaj asked, he asked, which dog you feel will bark the loudest? Which dog will bark the loudest? So all the students who said, Maharaj, the bad dog, the mad dog, because always the bad dog is barking and is saying, you know, we should do all these bad things. So Maharaj is comparing the good dog to the good things which we do in our life, and the bad things which we represent is a bad dog. Maharaj said, no, it is not that the bad dog is barking the loudest. It is that dog which you feed the most. If you feed the good dog the most, the good dog will be strong and it will bark louder. If you don't feed the bad dog will be weak and it won't bark. So we have divine and demoniac both. But based on our lifestyle, how we live, then we are either feeding the good dog or we are feeding the bad dog. So if your lifestyle is very, very not conducive to Krishna consciousness, not favorable to Krishna consciousness, then what happens? Only bad thoughts come. But if our activities are very conducive to Krishna consciousness, we only will good thoughts. So therefore it is mentioned that there are two kinds of created being. One is divine, another is demoniac. So now Krishna is saying here, now hear from me of the demoniac. That means from this verse onwards, Krishna is going to speak in detail about the demoniac. So it is like, you know, Krishna is going to give a biography of a demon. What is a demon? And if I read some verses, you will see. Those who are demon, they do not know what is to be done and what is not to be done. They do not know cleanliness. They do not know what is truth. They say God is not in control. They say this world is no real. And they say, that everything is born of sex desire. So this is the biography of a demoniac population. So I was just thinking, Prabhupada once said 99.99% of the population based on this verse is demoniac. Because everyone is not Krishna conscious. Everyone is thinking about his own life, how to enjoy sense gratification. So it's demonic consciousness. And devotees are how many? Very, very less. Lesser than 0.0001%. So very less population is devotee. And then I was thinking that I am also part of this world. Before I became a devotee, I was on the other side. I was part of the demonic population. And now I have got a chance to become a devotee. So I am now 0.001%. From 99% I became 0.001%. And I was thanking Prabhupada. You are so kind. From that life, I came to this life of a devotee. However, that is not enough. One time one devotee went to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, this devotee is doing this wrong thing. That devotee is doing wrong thing. So he was complaining. This devotee is doing that devotee is doing, and Prabhupada stopped him. Who is a devotee in ISKCON? I am the only devotee. Yes, Prabhupada is the only devotee. Prabhupada gave us the title, devotee. But he told us, now become a devotee. This is the only place in the whole world where you get the title and the post before you become qualified. Like, for example, you go out for a job outside and you say, I will become an engineer. I will become a doctor, but now you give me post. They will say, first you become a doctor, then you come, then we'll give you a job. But here, you come in and immediately you're called bhakta. The first day you become bhakta. Bhakta is the most highest thing. But Prabhupada told us, you become a devotee, titles are given. Take the tilak, take the kantimala, take the dress, take the bead bag. All the symptoms of a devotee are given. And then now you become a devotee. So the whole idea is, therefore, when we ask that you are a great devotee, you are a nice devotee. Prabhu, I am trying to be devotee. That's a fact. We are all trying to be devotee. We are learning. As we grow in Krishna consciousness, we are learning. Why? Because we know that now we are not fully devotees, at least me. Because the tendencies, the demonic tendencies are still there. Is it not? Sometimes they come out and then think, oh, what is this? Something which I did 20 years back, 15 years back. Again it comes up. And then, Krishna, please save me. Why? It is still there. We have to root it out. We have to remove it. So therefore we are all trying to be devotees. And we hope and pray that we can become better devotees. So the demonic tendencies are there. And therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is what? To make devotees from demons. Dina hina jata chilo, hariname uddharilo, tara sakshi jaghai madhai. Narottam Das Thakur is singing that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they have locked the barometers of who can be devotee. The great Ramananda Roy, he became a devotee. And the worst, Jagai Madhai, they became a devotee. So everyone is between this range, in between. No one can say that I am so worse that Krishna cannot work on me. Impossible. Jagai Madhai is already delivered. So Krishna has gone through all ranges, you know, from Jagai Madhai to Ramananda Rai. And in between we all come. So everyone has a chance. So it is said that Jagai Madhai were delivered and they were made devotees. And it is mentioned that similarly, all the Jagai and Madhai is in our heart. They have to be devotees. Slowly, slowly they are becoming devotees. But still time is there. One time one person came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, Swamiji, from today I am a vegetarian. Prabhupada said, even monkeys are vegetarian. What's so great about it? One devotee came, Prabhupada, from today I am following four principles. Prabhupada said, from today you are a human being. So sometimes we see that we have come from very, very bad, bad past. Prabhupada has made it happen. One time in Mayapur, I was walking on the road and I saw two Prabhupada disciples fighting. Not fighting, but arguing. One Prabhupada disciple was saying, you know, I was really bad. I was really demon. I have done this, I have done that in the past, you know. And then I became a devotee. But I was really a bad guy outside. So the other fellow said, hey, you are a neophyte. I was really the most bad guy. And I did this, I did that, I did this, I did that. And both were saying, no, but you don't know. I did this also. Said, no, I did it. So there was argument. Who is the fallen? Who is the most fallen? And finally, after 5 minutes, they started laughing. And they embraced and said, no matter who we are, today Prabhupada saved us. That's the most important. So we may have any past, but current, the current present thing is Srila Prabhupada saved us and we are here in front of Panchatattva and we are practicing Krishna consciousness. So that is the great fortune we have, that we have come in touch with such a great pure devotee of the Lord, Srila Prabhupada. So all that we have to do is now we have to get trained up as devotees. We are on probation period. You have probation period here? It is like, you know, go for a job. First training is there. You get trained and then you get a job. So all we are in training period. So we require training to be devotees. So slowly, slowly when we come in, like for example, when we come first in temple, then many of us realize, oh, we have to take everyday bath. I didn't know that. Oh, I have to do this, I have to do that. Slowly, slowly we get trained. And then eventually we become Vaishnavas. So that's called a training process. And all the bad things go away. One Prabhupada disciple, Gurudas Prabhu, Prabhupada told him to go and do fund collection for the temple. So he was in Mumbai, India, and he went to a very rich man to do fund collection, to ask for funds for a temple. Mumbai temple, Juhu temple, Radharas Pihari. So he went, and this man, he had some experience with ISKCON before, bad experience. So when Gurudas Prabhu came and sat in the office, this person started blaspheming ISKCON, Prabhupada and everyone. And Gurudas Prabhu became angry because he had heard from Prabhupada that if someone blasphemes devotees, you should not tolerate. So he became very angry, and as he was become very angry and angry and angry, this man said, see, you are a devotee, you are becoming angry, this means you are not a devotee. So Gurudas Prabhu said, my dear sir, 5 years back, when I was not with Prabhupada, if you have said the same thing, I would have killed you. But now, after 5 years, I am a devotee, so I am just angry. So we are working on ourselves, you know. Slowly, slowly. We are not the best, but we are getting better. So from, it's like a demoniac life to divine life. We are in between or almost reaching. Most of you are almost reaching. I am beginning. I have to start from demoniac to divine. So we are in Krishna consciousness movement and we are undergoing training. We are getting trained to become devotees, to become Vaishnavas. Prabhupada said, devotees are perfect gentlemen and gentlewomen. Is it not? So are we gentle? Not yet. We are mental. So therefore, there is a training required. I was hearing a class, and this devotee was mentioning a very nice point. He was saying that life is like an ice cream. Life is like an ice cream. Enjoy it before it melts. Enjoy it before it melts. And then he mentioned, life is also like a candle. Illuminate before it melts. Illuminate before it melts. Candle. And then this devotee asks all the devotees, so what do you think? Is life of a devotee like an ice cream or a candle? What do you think? Both? What do you think? Is life of a devotee like an ice cream? Enjoy it before it melts or illuminate before it melts? Producing both. Any other answers? Anyways, when he asked the question, many devotees said, Prabhu, life is like candle. And this Prabhu said, no, both. Because as devotees, we are supposed to be happy, enjoying Krishna consciousness, is it not? Prabhupada said, chant and be happy. You should be happy. Not that you are morose. I don't know when I'll become a great devotee. No, we are not morose. We are not morose. So, yes, we have come for Krishna consciousness. We have to enjoy. What we are enjoying? Nice prasadam. Nice temple hall, is it not? Such a beautiful temple hall. Beautiful deities, beautiful kirtan. We are enjoying. However, there is also illumination. We're enjoying, but we also have to share what we're enjoying. Then for we go out and distribute books, do kirtan, preaching. When people come to our temple, we talk to them nicely, give them prasadam, and show them, this is a good life, come join us. So this is called as illumination. this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Janma Sarthak Kori Koro Poropkar. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said two things. Everyone should perfect his life first, and second, preach about this to others. But Prabhupada said, we cannot wait till we become perfect and then we preach. Prabhupada said, both should continue. You keep becoming perfect and whatever you knew, keep preaching. Janma sarthak kari, koro poropkar. So you live like a live life of a devotee, be happy, practice Krishna consciousness, and simultaneously share whatever we have with the whole world. Like that. One time, His Holiness Jai Advait Maharaj, he was traveling. You know Jai Advait Swami? He has come here. He's a very wonderful Vaishnava sannyasi. He is very famous for his question answers. He gives class, he will speak 10 minutes, and next 2 hours will be question answers. As many questions you ask, amazing answers he gives. So he was walking on the street, and one cop, a police, he saw him. Strange dress. He said, hey, where are you going? Maharaj said, I'm going for this program. Okay. You are a monk? And Maharaj said, yes. Okay. Then he asked, what you have to give up to become like this? What you have to give up to become like this? You know what Maharaj said? Suffering. You have to give up suffering to become like this. That is devotee. When a devotee comes in Krishna consciousness, he gives up a suffering life outside. So that is Krishna consciousness. Paropkar and preaching. Perfection and preaching. One time one very rich man, he went for a pilgrimage in India and he saw a very renowned sadhu, a great sage. So he offered pranam, dandavat, and he said, Maharaj, you are such a great renunciate. You are a tyagi, mahatyagi. Tyagi means renounced person, tyaga. You are a mahatyagi, you are a tyagi, you are a great renunciate. And the sadhu, the sage, opened his eyes and said, I am a tyagi, but you are mahatyagi. You are more renounced than me. And the rich man said, oh, how that can be? I am a rich man. I have a big business. I have no time for Krishna. And he's saying that I am more renounced than him. So he said, how? Can you explain to me how I am more renounced than you? And this man said, what have I renounced? I have renounced a house. Small thing. I have renounced my family members. Not a big thing. I have renounced money. Not a big thing. But you have renounced Krishna. Therefore you are Mahatyagi. You have given up God, who is the source of all opulence. So Krishna consciousness means to take up Krishna consciousness. That means to connect with Krishna. Prabhupada said, we connect to Krishna, then what happens? Even though we may not able to achieve other things, still it is sufficient. Prabhupada would tell us that Krishna is like one and everything we accomplish in our life are like zeros. Prabhupada said, a good education is like a zero. Prabhupada, why it's zero? Because even if you're a great scientist, you're a doctor, when you die, in the next life you can't say, I was a doctor in the last life. You have to start again. So it's a zero. At the end of life, it becomes a zero. Prabhupada, what about family? Oh, that's also okay. But then, at the end of the life, you have to give up. Again a zero. That means the value is zero at that end of the life. And Prabhupada said, Krishna is that one. I should have it. And then he mentioned, you have good family, 1-0. Good house, 1-0. 2 zeros is equal to zero. You put one good car, another zero. Big zeros total. Prabhupada said, you keep that one in front of those zeros. You're a good devotee. Add that zero, good education. That zero gets a value. It becomes 10. And Prabhupada said, you're a good house, devotee, family. put a 0, 100 value. Good car, another 0. Good family. So Prabhupada said all the zeros will get value if that one is there. So Krishna is that one. So therefore Prabhupada said first 1 and then all the zeros you add. So one person said, Prabhupada, Swamiji, can I add first the zeros and then in the end I'll add the 1? So Prabhupada says, but you do not know when the end will come. What if the end comes sudden and you don't have that 1? Then all your zeros will be big 0. So better have that 1, Prabhupada said. Even if you don't have zeros, at least 1 is there. And if you have zeros, it will have value. So Prabhupada encouraged devotees to give priority to Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness topmost priority. Everything else will follow. Everything else will follow. Because for lifetimes after lifetimes, we have been doing the same thing. Puna puna charvita charvananam. Chewing the chewed. We have gone for a good family, a good house, a good this. These are all important in today's society, definitely, no doubt about it. But not at the cost of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness should be given top priority. And then you see all this family, house, occupation, business, everything will find value. Otherwise, Prabhupada said, it's a zero. So therefore, Prabhupada always told us to work on our Krishna consciousness and share our Krishna consciousness like that. So, I can share one thing is that it's our great fortune that we have a chance to become a devotee. It's a rare opportunity. Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. To get a chance to become a devotee is very, very rare. It's a rare occasion that someone gets a chance to become a devotee. Like for example, there was one man in a village. This man was very beautiful. He had a handsome body. He had a good house. Everything was very fine. But in material world, you know, not everything is fine. If someone says, I am happy, I am this, I am that, everything is okay. But, there has to be a but in his life. Where you say, but this is a problem. So this man, he had one problem in life. Everything was okay, one problem. What was that problem? His nose was very small. So he had beautiful body, but small nose. So everyone would make fun of him. He said, hey, small nose one. A man with a small nose. So they would make a fun of him. You are having small nose, small nose. So he was very disturbed. I have everything, only a small nose. This is the only problem. Material world is like that. We will have everything. But Maya Devi will keep that one small thing which will make us miserable. So for him it was a small nose. So then the time came for him to get married. And no one was getting married to him because he had a small nose. So that was difficult. He had a good house, everything was there, but he couldn't marry because small nose. Then after long search, then he got a good wife from a neighboring village who also had a small nose. So now both of them got married and both of them had small nose. So what happened? The whole villagers, they started making fun of both husband and wife. Couple with a small nose. So they were not happy. They were thinking, what is this life? You know, we have everything but this small nose. Their whole consciousness was only nose. They were not Krishna conscious. They were nose conscious. So one particular day, this man, he went to a forest. And in the forest, he saw a very magical man. And the magical man came and said, I have something important for you. And he brought out a stone. He said, this is a wish-fulfilling stone. You ask anything, it will fulfill your desires. And the man was excited. My goodness, he picked up. He said, wait. But only 3 desires. This stone can only fulfill three desires. Once you ask three desires, it will become then an ordinary stone. Okay. And he was about to leave, the man called him, magical man, said, hey, be very careful. Think before you ask. Ah, no, don't worry, I'll think before I ask. So took the stone and came back home. And he told his wife, I have got a stone. This stone is a wish-fulfilling stone. And the wife said, very nice. So what are you going to ask? Oh, I already thought of it. And I'm going to ask about a nose. We want a nose, nice nose. The wife said, are you sure? There are three desires. Think of something else. No, 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 there is nose. So there was an argument between the husband and the wife. What to ask? And the husband said, I am the Lord and master of this house. And I am telling, and picked up the stone, that I want nose, 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 and good nose. So he asked four times. So what happened? Both of them got four noses. Beautiful four noses. And then they went to the mirror and saw, my goodness, what is this? First we had a small nose, now we have beautiful nose, but four of them. So it was ugly. I told you, don't ask. Okay, okay, then picked one. Are you please remove this nose, 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 nose. But this time he asked five times. So what happened? The four beautiful nose went away, and the original small nose also went away. So now he was noseless. No nose. Both of them having no nose. So though both the two wishes gone, now only one wish remaining. And the wife caught hold of him and said, wait, sit down, let's discuss first what we should ask. And the wife said, let us ask for this, let us ask for that. The husband said, no, we don't have a nose, we need a nose now. So the wife said, okay, then now you can ask for a beautiful nose. And the husband said, yes, I can do that. But the husband started thinking, if I ask for a beautiful nose, and tomorrow morning when you go out, people are going to ask us, hey, suddenly how you got a beautiful nose? From a small nose, it became a beautiful nose. And they're going to dig out, and they will come to know this whole story, how foolish we were. We spoiled the three wishes, and finally we got a beautiful nose. They're going to laugh at us. So I am a little worried. I am not going to ask for a beautiful nose. I think I should ask for back the same small nose. So no one comes to know the story. And they ask, okay, the last wish is, please give us back the small nose. And they got the small nose again. So this was told to us by one devotee, Mahavishnu Maharaj. And he mentioned, we also have got good wishes in our life. This human form of life is like a good wish. But the problem is, if you do not use the human form of life, it is like misusing like that person for a big nose, small nose. So we have to be very expert of how we utilize our human form of life. So by Krishna's mercy, we are human beings. And by Krishna's mercy, now we have become devotees. So all that we do is, we wish the right thing. Don't wish the wrong thing. What is the right thing we can wish? Oh Krishna, let me become a better devotee. That is the most important thing. Like for example, Prabhupada was once praying in front of the deities. And one devotee went and asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, what are you praying? Now this is something which you can never ask your guru what you are praying. But that devotee asked, Prabhupada, what are you praying? And Prabhupada said, I am praying to Krishna, oh Krishna, let me never fall in Maya. Prabhupada is saying that, let me never fall in Maya. Jai Shri Panchatattva Ki Jai. So Prabhupada was telling this devotee that I am praying to Krishna, oh Krishna, let me never fall in Maya. This devotee said, but Prabhupada, 2 days back, you were talking with devotees and you said, I will never fall in Maya. So how is that? You are saying you never fall in Maya and now you are praying. Prabhupada said, because I am constantly praying, Krishna, let me never fall in Maya, I will never fall in Maya. So that is the point. Krishna consciousness is the moment of constant prayers. From morning to evening we are praying. We get up in the morning, At 5 o'clock we are praying samsara dava prayers. Then you pray to Prabhupada, pray to Panchatattva. Chanting is also a prayer, is it not? What we are praying, oh Krishna, please engage me in your service. So if we begin our day with prayers, we end our day with Gaur Aarti, prayers, chanting. So whole day is praying. And what is our prayer? Our prayer is that we become better devotees. We don't want to pray for any material desires, because material desires are very difficult. Prabhupada sometimes said, okay, if devotees have material desires, they can pray to Krishna. But they should connect to Krishna all the desires. Like for example, someone can pray, oh Krishna, let me have this thing in my life. But he should say, Krishna, if I get this, then I will use in your service. But if you wish, you can give me. That's important to ask. If you don't add, if you wish, then sometimes you may get things and you may misuse it. There's one devotee I know in our congregation in Radha Gopinath Temple who was having a program in his house, regular satsang program, weekly program, and many devotees would come. So he thought, if I would have a car, it would be so nice. I could pick up devotees and drop devotees if I would have a car. But he was not a rich man, so he didn't have a car. But he prayed to Krishna, give me a car, give me a car, give me a car. So what happened is, Krishna arranged a loan to be sanctioned. His office gave him a loan to buy a car. So he bought a car. Now when he bought a car, what happened is, because of the loan, he had to work more in the office, because the loan was there. So he worked more in the office. As a result, what happened? When the program was in his house, he could not come to attend the program. So he did not come to attend the program, and the car was in the garage, in the house, and then he could not drive the devotees to pick and drop them. So the purpose of car was to pick and drop devotees. But because he was so much engaged in paying the loan, he could not be there in the program to pick and drop devotees. So material desires are like that. What happens? We pick up material desires, we may end up becoming losers. So Prabhupada said, if you have material desires, go to Krishna, ask him, but always add, if you wish, you can fulfill. Because ultimately, I have to become a better devotee. So the whole purport Prabhupada is speaking here about how we should make a transition from demonic nature to divine nature. How to become better, better and better Vaishnava. I'll end with a small story again. This is not a real story, but it was told by Sachinandan Swami. But it was a very nice story. This is a story of a devotee. Okay. So this one devotee was going on book distribution. He met a very nice person. He gave him a book and invited him to come to temple. So the first time he came to temple, this was John. John coming to temple. So he came, he liked the temple, he liked the prasadam, and he was told, please come every Sunday. So then he came every Sunday. So one particular Sunday, one sannyasi, one guru came to the temple, and he gave a class. And this John became very impressed. And he thought, if I have to take a guru, he is my guru. So then he went and met the sannyasi and said, Maharaj, I am aspiring from you. Any instructions for me? Maharaj said, become sincere. Become sincere. Okay, Maharaj. So Maharaj went away and is thinking, what I should do to become sincere? Oh, maybe I should chant 16 rounds. Then I'll be sincere. So he started chanting 16 rounds. After 6 months, Maharaj came again to the same temple. And John, I was Bhakta John, John came back to temple from his house. And he said, Maharaj, any instructions? Maharaj said, be sincere. Sincere. 6 months back, he told me, be sincere. Again saying, be sincere. What I should do? Oh, I'm chanting 16 rounds. I am following 4 principles. Maybe I should join the temple. That's called sincere. Okay, I'll do that. So he joined the temple. So now became Bhakta John. And after 6 months, sannyasi came again. And this time the initiation was there. Bhakta John was supposed to be initiated. So he took initiation from sannyasi and said, Maharaj, any instructions for me? Maharaj said, be sincere. 1 year back, be sincere. 6 months back, be sincere. Now also saying, be sincere. Be sincere. So maybe I should become more better devotee. So he became more focused, more nice. Then after 2 years, now Bhakta John, who is now Jananivas Das, just I'm saying the name, Jananivas Das, who became a good book distributor. So his temple president, when a sannyasi came after 2 years, he said, Maharaj, your disciple is doing nice book distribution. We are very proud of him. And Maharaj was very happy. And then he said, Maharaj, please give your blessings. Any instructions for me? Maharaj said, become sincere. Again, become sincere. Start thinking, oh, become sincere. Things went on. After 5 years, then the president was very old, he retired. He said, now you become president. And now Jananivas Das was the temple president of temple after 5 years. And then sannyasi came, the Maharaj came, and then he said, Maharaj, I have to discuss something about a temple, how we can improve. So after talking all that, Maharaj, anything for me? Maharaj said, be sincere. Be sincere. Same thing. When I was a new person, sincere. Now also sincere. Sachinandan Maharaj mentioned, 20 years passed. Finally the time came for sannyas. Jananivas was getting sannyas. So he was taking his vows of sannyas. He took his danda and he became Jananivas Swami. And Maharaj, any instructions for me? Become sincere. Become sincere. I'm danda and become... Okay Maharaj, I'll be sincere. Sachinandan Maharaj mentioning the same thing. Be sincere. What it means? At different times it means different things. So therefore when you want to be sincere when you are new, it is different sincerity. But as we grow, we have to become more and more sincere. So there is no end to sincerity. We have to keep on improving our records. And finally, one day, a time will come when we can come to the level of where we can satisfy all the Vaishnavas and Prabhupada. So Krishna consciousness like is like winning a gold medal. It's like winning a gold medal. Krishna consciousness like a marathon race. You have seen a marathon race? It's a long, long run. You keep running. In marathon race, everyone begins together and everyone is enthusiastic. But after 10 miles, what happens? Very few remain. Some of them, they in between also they get detoured. Only few remain, they are running. And finally, the last leg, the first person enters the stadium and is running the last lap. Running. And everyone claps. The first person has come inside the stadium and then he finishes. As soon as he finishes, a gold medal is given to him. Krishna consciousness is like a marathon race. Many people begin enthusiastically. But after some time, very few remain. Yes, it's a long race, marathon race. But the best part of Krishna consciousness is, in marathon, only one person gets gold medal. In Krishna consciousness, everyone gets gold medal. So in Krishna consciousness, the first person finishes the line. Krishna is waiting for him. Prabhu, gold medal. Prema Bhakti. Then after 10 minutes, someone else may come running. Then Krishna gives him gold medal. Prabhu, Prema Bhakti. Because Krishna does not see who comes first. Krishna sees who finishes. Finishing is important. Coming first is not important. If everyone finishes what they are supposed to do till the end of their life, if they do that much, then Krishna guarantees, whenever, whatever time you come, there is a gold medal for you. So this is the glory of Krishna consciousness. Therefore Prabhupada said, just continue. Just continue and practice and be sincere throughout your life. And soon one day, a time will come, Krishna will award the gold medal of Krishna Prema. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you. We are late and we'll end. What do you think? Any comments? Want to add something? Any comments?
When I first read Bhagavad Gita, it seemed like strange, this black and white differentiation, like, are you a gopi or if you're not, then you're a demon. And I was disturbed. I didn't know what to think of my life. But it's not so black and white. You can call somebody a demon, but there are different types. Some are like hardcore, or some are like just innocent. Can you explain?
Yes. So definitely, as per the book, we should know anyone who is not a devotee is a demon. But when we interact with people, we should not think that way, that he is a demon. No. Because we were also demons. Devotees were merciful to us, and they picked us up. They loved us, nurtured us, cared for us, and therefore we are devotees. So we should not think, we should not, hello, you know, we should not have something around our head, you know, now I am a devotee. No. Few years back, I was not a devotee. But because someone helped me, I didn't know about devotee, and because of his help, I became a devotee. So we require help. The outside world, everyone requires help. But we should know philosophy-wise, it is right. Anyone who is not a devotee of Krishna, he is to be doomed. But our process is, we give everyone chance to become a devotee. Share what we have. Therefore, janma sarthak kari, koro porupkar. Whatever little we have Krishna consciousness, we share. And we increase the family of devotees. Prabhupada could say, scientists are demons, philosophers are demons, rascals, fools. But he spoke only in the books and in the private. When he would meet some scientist, Prabhupada would talk in a very respectful way to him. So philosophy-wise, there is one thing. But dealing-wise, we should also be careful. Because if we go out and call everyone, you are a demon, what will happen? We are in trouble. Is it not? We will be in trouble. They will put in the newspaper, Hare Krishna has considered everyone to be demon. So we have to be careful. We have to be careful. But at the same time, we should also know that, like Prabhupada said, you know, this one thing. People who are, when we go out and preach, if someone is envious, we should avoid him. If someone is innocent, we should preach to him. Like that. One person came to Radhanath Swami and asked him, Maharaj, I am preaching to this man, he is not listening. Maharaj said, next one. There are so many. Don't spend time on that person. Go to the next one. Maybe you are spending so much time on this, you will not get time, give time to the other guy who is waiting there. Give to the other person. Hit. Book distribution is like that. More you give, more you reach, more you distribute. Is it not? That's Vaisheshika Prabhu's law. He mentions that, you know. More you show, more you sell. That's book distribution law. Similarly, preaching is also it's like that. You know, you don't have to go to one person and I have taken a vow to make him a pure devotee. Don't take that vows. You try. If he doesn't become a devotee, you leave it. Next one. There are so many outside. Keep trying. And then you pick up good devotees and enroll them. That's Krishna consciousness. So those who are innocent, help them. Those who are envious, avoid them. That is the philosophy of preaching. And those who are envious now may not be envious later. There are so many devotees who had been envious of Krishna consciousness. But later they went through very, very bad phase in their life. And then they came to their senses. And then they got a book. And then they became a devotee. There have been many people who before devotee, they have even beaten devotees. Like one Sankirtan. Devotees would go on Sankirtan and chanting on the Harinam streets. And they would go through a market. And there was one tomato seller. He was very envious of devotees. So you take up tomatoes and he would hit on the devotees. On the Harinam party. Hit tomatoes like this. So devotees would just tolerate. They would just, you know, they would just dodge the tomatoes and keep going Sankirtan. Every day they would do Sankirtan. The same market. And this fellow would hit tomatoes. Now what happened? For some time, devotees, their plan changed and they could not go for Kirtan. They could not go for Harinam. This tomato seller was waiting. Where are these guys, you know? They don't come again here. I want to hit the tomatoes. So finally one particular day the Harinam went. And then he was eating tomatoes. And then he called one devotee. Hey, where were you? I was missing. I wanted to eat your tomatoes. So the devotee said, see, you hit tomatoes. How many tomatoes you waste? So I waste 20 tomatoes. Why don't you hit 10 tomatoes and 10 tomatoes you give donation to us? So that's not a bad idea. So he gave 10 tomatoes in donation. And 10 tomatoes he would hit on devotees. Then as slowly days progress, then after that his 10 tomatoes which he was donating, that is Krishna consciousness he was giving for the temple. Then he became a little better person. So the devotees went and told him thank you. And then also got him some prasadam. This is tomato sauce which you made from your tomatoes. You also take this. So he ate that tomato sauce. And slowly the number of tomatoes which he was hitting got decreased. And finally one particular day he said, what's your philosophy? Devotees give a book. This is a philosophy he read. And then what happened? He became a devotee. And then all his tomatoes he gave to Krishna. So this is how things work. So patience, determination, enthusiasm. And slowly people who are envious, we may not reach them now. But it is not like they will never become devotees. Someday they can become devotees based on the experience in the material world. Okay, we'll end here. Thank you so much. Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Go Premanandi, Hari Hari Bo.